Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery, where every death had a life and every life had a story. My name is Jenny Johnson.
Hello, and I'm Diane Hartshorn.
And we are recording this on a Tuesday evening. It's funny because sometimes I think our last one we recorded early on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, it was early Wednesday morning.
This week it's late on a Tuesday evening. We're just kind of all over the place with recording. But hopefully that helps us sound more alive. Because I know my voice is more put together when we record at night than when we record in the mornings. But
My voice is never okay.
Your voice is fine. So we have a special guest with us.
Yes, we have a guest. There's a new voice in the podcast.
There is. He's been on the podcast once before.
If any of you have seen the Christmas Carol episode, you may recognize me.
Yep.
I'm Charles Johnson.
You played several voices for us in that episode. That was with the Rebel at Large Adventure podcast for the Christmas of 2021.
Was it 21? Yeah, I was COVIDed.
Yes, that's when you had COVID and right before I got COVID. But we had recorded that. And so Charlie had set in and played several characters. And he got very interested in today's episode. Because when I was putting the script together, I was reading part of it to him to ask his opinion on how it sounded. And then he knew some other facts that he will share with us later about this particular topic. So we decided it was appropriate to have him join us today. So welcome back to the show, Charlie.
Yeah.
Or do you want Charles? Do you want us to call you Charles or Charlie?
Charles or Charlie is fine. Yeah. And like, thank you for letting me do this.
Oh, it's our pleasure. This week. For as the sun shines on Candlemas Day, so far will the snow swirl in May. This episode is airing on a very special day here in the U.S., Groundhog Day. So when I was making plan for this week's episode, I thought it might be interesting to do an episode on the graves of former Punxsutawney Phils. However, as I started to do the research about Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog here in the U.S. who predicts the weather, I discovered that would be impossible, and we will explain why later in this episode. However, because I can't talk about those graves, I did realize we could talk about how this tradition came about and who the men were that started it. And so today's cemeteries are located in Pennsylvania and Florida and are connected with our very famous groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil.
For those listeners who may not be familiar with this tradition, every year, on February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, a groundhog, is brought forth before the residents and guests of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, on Gobbler's Knob in great ceremony to proclaim if winter will be prolonged or if spring will come early. And how exactly does this rodent determine his prediction? It's all based on whether or not he sees his shadow that morning. If he sees his shadow, that means we will suffer through 6 more weeks of winter. But if his shadow is missing, we will have an early spring.
The real question is, how did this crazy tradition even begin? To answer that, let's travel back in time to when the land that eventually became the town of Punxsutawney was home to indigenous peoples of the Shawnee, Delaware, Seneca, and Iroquois. According to punxsyhistory.org, Punxsutawney's groundhog legend predates the area's first white settlers. Punxsutawney was originally a campsite halfway between the Allegheny and Sisica rivers. It is located on the earliest known trail to the east, the Shamokin Path, according to the original creation story of the Delaware Indians, the Lenai Lenape, or original people, who were their forebears, began life as animals in Mother Earth, and emerged centuries later to hunt and live as men. Thus it was the Wejack, or Wojack, which was carried over to us as Woodchuck, came to be recognized as the grandfather of the earliest known inhabitants of this area.
That is so cool. I did not know that. That is cool.
I didn't know that either. This is where our research gets fun. The Delawares, along with other Native American tribes, met in 1754 to protest the sale of their lands by the Six Nations. Despite efforts by peace-loving chiefs, the tribes eventually joined with the French in the French and Indian War. In 1755, the Delawares initiated their first resistance to white settlers with an attack at Penn's Creek and captured two young girls. The girls eventually escaped to Fort Pitt, and the Delawares withdrew from the area, leading to a more peaceful environment. The first white settlers arrived in the area that is now Jefferson County in the late 1790s. For a time, the white settlers and the Native Americans lived peacefully alongside one another, but as more white people came west, the members of the Native tribes were sometimes forced or sometimes chose to move further west away from the permanent settlements being built on their lands.
Jacob Hoover built the first log cabin in Punxsutawney in 1814 and also built the first grist mill. The Reverend David Barclay arrived in 1816 and is considered the founder of Punxsutawney. He purchased 327 acres in 1819 and built a log cabin on what is now the northwest corner of Front and Manning Streets. In 1832, he donated a plot of land for a marketplace, which is now known as Barclay Square. In its early days, agriculture was a main activity in Punxsutawney, and the population grew to around 100 inhabitants. In 1849, Punxsutawney was incorporated as a borough, and agricultural and lumbering flourished and prospered until 1883. This was followed by coal mining and increased railroad activity.
Many of the people who settled in the area were of German descent, and they brought their traditions from their native Germany to America with them. This included the celebration of Candlemas Day, also known as the Feast of Presentation of Jesus at the Temple, has its roots in Christianity and is traditionally celebrated on February 2nd. On this day, Christians would bring their candles to the church to have them blessed, as it was believed that this would bring blessings to their households for the remaining winter. The German celebration of Candlemas Day added a unique twist to the holiday. It was believed that if the sun came out on February 2nd, and an animal, usually a hedgehog, cast a shadow, there would be 6 more weeks of cold weather. This period was referred to as the second winter. Upon settling in Pennsylvania, where hedgehogs were not native, they chose to use the groundhog instead.
That feels very Hobbit-like to me, by the way, that part of the story. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah, kind of. Just,
I feel like I'm in, you know, the Shire or something when I read that.
Yeah.
In 1886, a brief notice appeared in the local newspaper, the Punxsutawney Spirit. It read, "Today is Groundhog Day, and up to the time of going to press, the beast has not seen its shadow." The first trek to Gobbler's Knob, the site of the modern-day celebration of Groundhog Day, reportedly took place in 1887. At this period in history, the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club relied on groundhogs not only for their weather forecasting abilities, but also as a food source. The club held an annual groundhog hunt each September, which was more significant than the Groundhog Day weather predictions. With the arrival of the railroad connecting Pittsburgh to Punxsutawney in 1899, politicians and journalists started to attend the event, and the hunt and banquet became more elaborate. In 1910, more than 150 people attended the annual feast. Club members began the celebration by singing their official song. One stanza of the song was, "We had a pie all made of rye, and groundhog was the meat. We have enough and plenty too, and more than we can eat."
In 1892, a local man of prominence, William Orlando Smith, often called W.O., purchased a half interest in the Punxsutawney Spirit. W.O. had a true appreciation for Groundhog Day and its festivities, and as part owner in the local newspaper, made sure stories of the day were featured annually. W.O. was born on June 13, 1859, to John and Susanna Sprague Smith in Reynoldsville, a mill town located about 12 miles north of Punxsutawney. His father worked a variety of jobs over the years, including shoemaker, taught school, studied medicine, lectured on temperance, and managed a drugstore, but was engaged principally as a surveyor, locating many of the roads in Jefferson County. He also served as a soldier in the Civil War. John S. Smith had the reputation of being an extremely honest man, which earned him the nickname Honest John Smith.
Like his father, W.O. was extremely intelligent and excelled in school. He was an avid reader, not only in English, but in Greek and Latin as well. That's actually kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
As a young man, he apprenticed as a printer. From 1876 to 1879, he was the publisher of Reynoldsville Herald. In 1879, W.O. made the move to Washington, D.C. to work for the government printing office. He was a strong advocate for labor unions, and during this time helped printing a publication called The Craftsman. He worked in D.C. until 1884, at which time he returned to Pennsylvania, this time choosing to settle in Punxsutawney, working first as the editor of the Punxsutawney Tribune, and then the Punxsutawney Spirit, the paper he later became half owner of. He also served in Congress for the Republican Party from 1903 to 1907.
In 1880, W.O. Smith fell in love with Phoebe H. Griggs, and they married. They would go on to have four children together. While W.O. Smith spent much of his time writing and publishing about labor laws and other such serious matters, he did enjoy the annual groundhog events and made sure they were reported on each year in the Punxsutawney Spirit. W.O. Smith died in Cleveland, Ohio on May 12, 1932, but his body was returned to his beloved town of Punxsutawney, where he was laid to rest at Circle Hill Cemetery.
The ultimate journalistic credit for Punxsutawney's famed groundhog celebration belongs to one of W.O. Smith's predecessors and fellow journalists of the Punxsutawney Spirit, a Mr. Clymer H. Freas. It was in that small article printed in the paper in 1886 that February 2nd was first declared to be Groundhog Day by Clymer Freas, author of said article. It was also Freas who reported on that first trek to Gobbler's Knob in 1887. Clymer H. Freas, along with several others, would officially found the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club in 1887. From 1887 into the formation of the official club in 1898, Groundhog Day festivities were carried out by the local Elks Lodge, of which Freas was also a member.
I was going to say that was a little bit confusing the way I worded that, but, and this is just for our listeners' clarification, if you go to the website for the official Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, it says established 1887, and I believe they're dating back to when they were still part of the Elks Lodge and the Elks Lodge was running things. I think maybe official documentation came about later in 1898. That's kind of my guess. And that was from another source I was using. So I was trying to include both dates. But if you ask members of the actual Groundhog Club, they're going to tell you 1887 is when they were founded.
Clymer H. Freas spent much of his life working in journalism. For a time, he was a part of another paper with a nephew. That paper was called the Falls Creek Herald from 1900 to 1901. He worked in the census office in Washington, D.C., but returned to Punxsutawney where he was hired as the editor of the Punxsutawney Spirit. He worked in this position from 1904 to 1910. Much of that time would have been with W.O. Smith. Much of that time would have been when W.O. Smith was serving in Congress. In 1910, Freas left Pennsylvania for sunny Florida, where he would remain for the rest of his life. In 1913, at the age of 46, he married Rose Wall in Tampa. The couple never had children, but were happily married until her death in 1933. Clymer H. Freas would pass away 9 years later on October 23rd, 1942. He's buried in Oak Lawn Cemetery in Tampa, Florida. Thanks to both Clymer Freas and W.O. Smith, as well as many journalists and reporters since then, the annual celebration of a prognosticating rodent has been dubbed one of the greatest ongoing publicity campaigns in history.
The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club that Freas helped to found is alive and well today, as are the traditions that have changed and grown since 1887. 15 members of the club belong to what is called the Inner Circle. The Groundhog Club's Inner Circle is a group of local dignitaries responsible for carrying on the tradition of Groundhog Day every year. They're the ones who are not only responsible for planning the events each year, but they're also responsible for the feeding and care of Phil himself. These men do all of this on a strictly voluntary basis. If you've ever seen the 1993 movie Groundhog Day, or if you've been fortunate enough to attend a Punxsutawney Groundhog Day celebration, you will have noticed these men dressed to the nines in their top hats and tuxes. In order to be a member of the Inner Circle, you must be a resident of Punxsutawney and be able to prove that you pay taxes to the Punxsutawney School District.
The fact that I saw like an article that talked about it, apparently most of the people there have been doing it because their family has been so tied to it, which is kind of a nice little thing.
Yep.
At 7:20 a.m. each February 2nd, the men of the Inner Circle bring forth the most important member of the club, Punxsutawney Phil, seer of seers, sage of sages, prognosticator of prognosticators, and weather prophet, extraordinary. According to his Inner Circle and other members of the Groundhog Club, the reason we cannot visit the graves of past Punxsutawney Phils is because there has only been the one Punxsutawney Phil. This auspicious 11 to 17 pound rodent has been hanging out in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania for more than 125 years. Thanks to a magical punch he is given each summer by the members of the Inner Circle, the average lifespan of any other groundhog is only 3 to 6 years.
He's a pretty special groundhog, this little man.
Yeah. Well, Punxsutawney is the longest lived and most famous animal prognosticator. There are many others throughout North America who lay their claim to their own local celebrations on February 2nd. Some include Buckeye Chuck from Ohio, Balzac Billy from Alberta, Canada, and General Beauregard Lee from Georgia, Warrington Willie from Ontario, Canada, Shubnicade Sam from Nova Scotia, Canada, Staten Island Chuck from New York, and my personal favorite, Sand Mountain Sam from Alabama, who is a possum. On February 1st, 2021, the groundhog known as Staten Island Chuck died. At first, he was confused with Punxsutawney Phil, and many other news outlets mistakenly reported poor Phil as the deceased, causing a bit of panic to those who would predict the remaining winter weather. However, the mistake was quickly resettified by the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, that Phil's annual potion had worked its magic and went on to predict the next morning. Of course, those who knew Staten Island Chuck widely mourned his death, and he was remembered as a fun, beloved animal that brought joy to many people. Although, there's also, Boulder...
Oh yeah, you were looking it up to see if there was any in Colorado.
Yeah, there's one, it was in Boulder, but I forgot his name.
Yeah, there is one in Colorado. We did look that up. We didn't put it in our script.
But instead of like having an actual animal, he's a stuffed animal this time, which I think is kind of fun and kind of represents Colorado, where it's just like, you know what, we don't need magic. Let's just make him stuffed. He'll still predict the weather that way.
Some other fun facts about the immortal Punxsutawney Phil. During Prohibition, Phil threatened to impose 60 weeks of winter on the community if he wasn't allowed to drink.
I bet.
In 1958, Phil announced that it was the United States Chupnik rather than the Soviet Sputnik or Mutnik that became the first man-made satellite to orbit the Earth.
In 1996, Sega donated $10,000 to the Groundhog Club as Punxsutawney helped promote Sega's newest game at the time, Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Today, the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club reminds us that Groundhog Day is a day to remind us to take everything a little less seriously and break up the winter monotony, at least for a little while. And so that is the story of Punxsutawney Phil and why he cannot die and why he cannot visit his grave.
You know, that's true. I never knew he lived. He was immortal. And I never thought about it, honestly, but that's pretty cute.
I hadn't either. It dawned on me this year because this episode is falling on Groundhog Day that we should do something to honor it. And so that's what interests me. I'm like, well, what happens when this very famous groundhog die? Well, he doesn't. So this is why we decided to talk about some of the men that helped to create this tradition and this holiday. And I'm sure if you've grown up in Punxsutawney, you know his full history and that he doesn't die and all the stories. And as Charlie mentioned earlier, a lot of the families involved in the club are
doing it because their families were so tied to
it. But and I think that's cool.
It's a very sweet tradition. And have you seen the movie? Have you ever watched the movie?
I have actually never seen Groundhog Day, but I've always wanted to see it because I always like see a bunch of jokes about it online. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I need to see this just to understand everything.
Well, guess what we might have to do this week? Watch that movie.
But also just the fact that there's so many things like him with like Sand Mountain Sam. But what I want to see on international news is all of these like different prognosticators just have a debate.
About who's correct?
Yeah, it would be funny. And I think people would really enjoy it.
I know I read on the website, on the Groundhog Club's website, that he is 100% accurate 100% of the time. But I think the actual accuracy is less than 30%.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's no.
Yes. But if you ask the inner circle, they're going to tell you he's always right, that he never gets it wrong. Also, another little fact that I didn't include in the script, but he does have a wife. She is not immortal like himself, though. So she will eventually die and then he'll get a new wife. And there
How many wives has he had then?
I don't know. That question wasn't answered. So if anybody knows the answer, how many wives has Punxsutawney Phil had over the last 125 years? You can see him publicly year round, though.
Although, okay.
If he's 125 years, they live what?
3 to 6 years.
3 to 6 years on average. Yep.
Charlie's got to figure this out. I'm not.
Charlie's doing the math.
We could actually just pull up a
calculator.
Yeah.
The first time for everything, folks, we're pulling up the calculator on the podcast.
We're pulling it up live.
Well, there you go. Do the math. So I'm going to let you do the math. So average 4 years. If it's 3 to 6 years, give his wife an average of 4 years to live because she is not given the magic serum that he is.
20 wives if they all live 6 years. About
that's still a lot.
41 wives if they were all to live 3 years, if they all live 6 years.
About 20.
Yeah, about 20. But to also give it so that there's any kind of range.
So ultimately, it's really had anywhere from 20 to 40 wives.
Yeah, 20 to 40 wives.
Over his lifetime.
Although the one that's the most even number, that's like no decimal, is 5. If they all lived 5 years, he would have gone through 25 wives.
There you go. Yeah. So he has, and his current wife, I know her name was mentioned and I don't remember what it was, but he does currently have a wife. So,
so if they're married,
uh-huh,
and they have little groundhogs, is that descendant of the original little groundhogs?
Well, apparently he's never had any children, they said.
Oh, that's sad.
With any of his 20 to 40 wives.
With any, that's quite a commitment, honestly.
I just think it's funny. It's a fun story.
It's a fun story.
And now I know that much more about Groundhog Day than I did before. I always do enjoy the movie and we watch it. We don't always watch it every year, but we do watch it quite often. And it's one of my favorite Bill Murray movies. So I just thought it'd be more fun to learn a little bit more about this groundhog and what he does. And then of course that took me down the road of Candlemas Day, which
just a rabbit hole
I've heard of, but even as a Catholic where we celebrate a lot of different things, we've never celebrated that particular day, so I didn't know much about that.
It might be just like more of the like central to Eastern Europe kind of celebrated event, kind of like Krampus and whatnot.
Yeah, but this was a very fun episode to do something a little lighter, and actually our next couple of episodes are going to feel a little lighter, so this is kind of
be right back.
I know. I'm sure we'll hit some heavy stuff at the end of February going into March. It's okay. Sometimes we want to have fun. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, definitely. Us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's definitely cool.
Thank you.
We hope all of you will have a lovely Groundhog Day, and we look forward to bringing you some of the love stories that you have shared with us starting next week. In the meantime, if you would like to learn more about Groundhog Day, visit our website, theordinaryextraordinarycemetery.com, to find the resources we use to research today's episode.
And don't forget to visit us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery and on Twitter at Ord Extra Sim.
Until we meet again.